Well, children, you're going to go to Sunday school. I know some of them are there practicing. We pray for you. Even not many of you, oh, you're all going before I can pray for you. You know what you call this? You know what you just seen? What you call this is called the herd mentality. You just need one or two to walk, everybody will follow. Bless them. It's wonderful, you know, to see our children being in a worship service behaving so well. You know, we are living in quite a challenging time. A lot of things can happen, you know. This morning I received a text from my pastor friend in Rockingham. He said, he and a wife are now with COVID. Half of the worship team is now with COVID. And today, the whole church will be on live stream. Anything can happen. In our last board meeting, you know, we sat down and we talked, hey, look, we must be prepared for anything. And if there is such a thing that the pastor, one of the pastors cannot make it, like Pastor Kara cannot, because he's under isolation, then one of us must be able to take over. If one of the worship leaders cannot lead, you know, because of something, then another one must be ready to take over. We must be ready all the time. This is the time we are living in. Challenging, but it's also trusting. So what do you want to be? Do you want to look at it as challenging, or do you want to look at it as trusting? I'd rather look at it as trusting, because it's a great time that we can trust God at all time, at all occasion. So this morning, I want to speak from John chapter 4. One of the miracles of Jesus. John chapter 4. And I entitled my message, The Unlimited God. The God that has no limitation. John records 7 miracles of Jesus. You have the miracle of the water turned into wine. I think this is a very popular miracle. And then you have the healing of the normal man's son. Then you have the healing of the paralytic. Then the feeding of the 5,000. Then Peter walking on the water. Then you have the healing of a man who was born blind. And of course, you have Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Each of these miracles reveal the glory of God. That Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. We need to believe He is the Son of God. There are so many other voices today trying to proclaim that He is just like any other. No, He is the Son of God. And He is not like us. We are limited by human constraint, but He is the incarnate God, the Word that became flesh and dwell among us. So when we look at John chapter 4, verse 43 to verse 54, let's read it. Okay, verse 43. Then after 2 days, Jesus departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he went to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also have gone to the feast. Verse 46. So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, where he has made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus has come out of Galilee, of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and empowered him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. They said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he believed, and he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your words this morning. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to each one of us, O God. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we ask you, Lord, that as we come humbly to you, that by the power of your words, that you, O God, will do something powerful, something great in each one of our hearts to trust you more, to love you more, to obey you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. The first miracle of Jesus when he turned water into wine, it was a mother that came to Jesus. The second miracle when he healed the nobleman's son, it was the father that came to Jesus. One thing we know, fathers and mothers, we must not be afraid to come to Jesus. When you have a need, whether it is a family need, a personal need, or a special need, even your day-to-day need, you must never be afraid to approach Jesus. We know one thing for sure. It takes an individual, just an individual. It doesn't take a crowd. It just takes an individual that when he comes to Jesus, Jesus will stop and hear the need of the individual, and he will stop and meet that need. This is the comfort. This is the assurance. This is the promise that we have a Jesus who cares for us. We have a Jesus that is able to fill our needs, to feel our pain, to feel our infirmity. We have a Jesus who is not distant from us. We have a Jesus that comes alongside us, and he is here this morning to meet every need. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it was his power over nature. Now, in this second miracle, Jesus demonstrates his power over distance. Distance is a human problem. How many of you travel more than 30 minutes to come to church today? God bless you. You know, 30 minutes to some people is a distance too far. But you heard of people that will travel hour or more than hour to go to a place where the food is good. How many of you do that? You see, distance is a human problem, but it's never a God's problem. Distance is a physical, it's an emotional and a spiritual problem. Physically, we have people close to our heart, but they are living in another state, in another part of the world. Your family is in Pakistan. Your family is, some of you, your family is in India. Some of your family may be in Singapore, Malaysia, or in another part of the world. So physically, they can be thousands of miles away. And sometimes we say, what a distance. Emotionally, two persons can sit down and have a conversation, yet they can feel distant apart. In hearts and in mind. Have you seen that before? Two people talking, they are of the same frequency. They are not looking at the same thing. So emotionally, you can be distant. Spiritually, you can feel distant from God. I wonder, have you ever felt that way? When you are in the valley, when you are in the desert, when you are in the wilderness, in what the Bible calls, Christian will call, in the dark place of your soul, that you feel that God is so far away, He's so distant away from you, and you say, where are you, God? Distant is a human problem. It limits us, and it's a barrier from touching life and reaching life. But God is not limited by distance. Distance does not limit His presence. Distance does not limit His power. Distance does not limit His seeing and His knowing. God is Jehovah Shammai. It simply means the Lord is there. The Lord is present. He is an ever-present one, not absent. You know, the world today complains, where is your God? He is always here. He has not gone anywhere. He is not absent. He is ever-present, ever available to us. He is working His plan and purpose on our behalf. So when you look at the second miracle of Jesus, there are three things you can learn. Three truths. Truth number one, distance does not limit His presence. Verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived to Galilee from Judea, he went to Him and begged Him to come and heal his son who was close to death. This nobleman traveled 20 miles from Capernaum to Canaan to see Jesus. He traveled all this distance so that Jesus can come to heal his sick and dying son. We call him a normal man because he was a man of power. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of position. But everything that he has could not help his son. You know, sometimes life is like that. You can have everything you want, but you could not even help one who is in need. He has everything, but he could not help his son. So he traveled and he came to Jesus and he begged Jesus and he beseeched Jesus, Jesus, travel with me to Capernaum and heal my son. Time is crucial. For any moment, my son who is sick and dying could slip to eternity. He begged Jesus, come with me to Capernaum. I need you, and my son who is dying and sick needs you. To this normal man, only Jesus' physical presence would make a difference. Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever said in your heart, Lord, I need you here in person? How many of you ever felt that way before? Have you ever come to that place? It's just like Mary, whose brother Lazarus was dying, and then he died. And then when Jesus came, he looked at Jesus and she said to Jesus, if only you were here. Like many of us, the person who you love is in need, and you are distant away. You are here, they are in Pakistan. You are here, they are in India. You are here, they are in Philippines. You are here, they are in Korea. And they are so distant away from you. And because you cannot be there physically, anxiety and worry sinks into you. How many of you realize sometimes even guilt comes in? I have good news for you. You cannot be there, but Jesus can be there. He is not limited by distance. Jesus, the Son of God, is not limited by distance. He is omnipresent. What does it mean? He means He is present everywhere. Wherever you are, wherever they are, God is present. Today, in this building, Jesus is here. The Father is here. The Son is here. The Holy Spirit is here. This is a powerful and a precious promise given to us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For when two or three of you are together because of me, we are here because of Jesus. Gather in my name. We gather in no other name except the name of Jesus. Gather together as my followers. We follow no one except Jesus. And there's a promise that when you are two or three gather, you can be sure that I am there. I'm in the midst of them. I am among them. So I want you to know, Jesus is here today. The Son of God is here. The living Savior is here. The risen Lord is here. Once David prayed, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Seol, you are there. Where can I go? Moses found that in the desert, God was there. Elijah ran away from Jezebel. He hid in a cave. God is there. The three Hebrews threw into the furnace fire. God was there. Daniel in the lion den. God was there. Jonah in the bottom of the ocean, God was there. God's presence is not limited by distance. He is everywhere and He is here. Like the normal man, we must learn that God is not limited by distance. He is not like you and me. We have human constraint. He is God. We can only be in one place at one time. But now God, He is here and He is everywhere. And because of that, I want you to know you can trust God to look after and to watch over your children. When they go out, when they are in school, or even when they are living in another state or in another country. You can trust God that your loved one may be distant from you, but is not distant from God, because God is there. When you go on a holiday, you cannot bring your house and all your belongings with you. You may have insurance, but above all, when you go on holiday, God is there. This week, be encouraged that distance does not limit God's presence. Be assured that He is with you, with your children, and with your loved one, as He is not limited by human constraint. He is the Son of God. He closed the distance between man and God when He left heaven to dwell among us in the flesh and in our heart. He closed the distance between your heart and your mind and will make you know that He is present to show Himself to you. Distance does not limit God's presence. The second truth, distance does not limit His answer. Verse 49, Sir, come thou before my son die. The normal man tried to tell Jesus how to answer his prayer. Have you ever done that before? You pray and you want to tell Jesus, this is how you should do. And he came to Jesus with a request and he said, Jesus, come to my house. I want you to answer my prayer. I want you to come down before my son die. He assumed that if Jesus traveled with him from Canaan to Capernaum, and if Jesus stood beside his sick and dying son, if Jesus held his hand, if Jesus touched him, and Jesus said a prayer over him, he will be healed. Jesus knew the nobleman's problem. As well, he knew of those that surround him. He said, you guys need to see signs and wonder before you believe. Because Jesus is talking to a group of people who say, believing, seeing is believing. I must see in order to believe. But we know that faith is to believe in order to what? To see. That's faith. The normal man, to him, if Jesus is physically present, physically touching his son, physically praying for his son, then his request will be answered and there will be a great sign. But he failed to see that distance does not limit God's power to answer prayer. Why do we pray? For those in Ukraine, for those in Yemen, for those that are in other parts of the world. Why do we pray? We pray because we believe that God answers our prayer no matter how far they are. God can reach them. And we all have prayed for people that is out of reach. Loved ones back home, dear ones in another part of the world, and the assurance that God has the ability to answer our prayer because distance is not God's problem. He is not limited by distance. He is the Son of God and He overcomes distance and He is ahead of distance. He is not man. Man has a distant problem. God has no distant problem. When you pray, where do your prayer goes to? It goes to God's thrones of grace. You are here and His grace, throne of grace, is in heaven. And it is millions of kilo miles apart. That is our human thinking. God here. But what does God say? God say, heaven is my throne. Where is earth? Earth is my what? So that means how near He is. To us, we see God, you are so far. But to God, I'm here. That means that He is so close that whatever we pray to God is within reach, and He can reach them and He can touch them. Israel cried out to God in Egypt when they were being oppressed. God saw their suffering. Where was Israel? Israel was on earth. Where was God? God was in heaven. But yet God can hear and God can see because distance does not limit God to hear our need. It does not limit God to answer our prayer. Apostle Paul was in prison. And at different times, he prayed for different churches and different individuals because he knew that even though he is in prison, yet when he prayed, it does not limit God to answer his prayer. That's why, Christian, we need to pray. We need to pray. If there is any weakness in our Western and in our affluent church today, it's the lack for prayer. We become self-sufficient. If you go to the third world country, to country where there is great danger, the Christians are praying every day because they know their life is in danger. Apostle Paul, believe, I'm in prison. When I pray, the church of Ephesians may be far away. He prayed that prayer. I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I pray that you are rooted and grounded in love. He prayed, and he know that he may be away, a distance away from them, but God will answer his prayer. Then he prayed for the Ephesian church. In all my prayer for all of you, I always pray with joy. That he prayed for the Colossian church. I pray that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. And then he asked the church, church, pray for me. You are not near me. I may be apart from you. Pray for me that I may be able to proclaim the gospel. Because he knew that as long as he prayed and the church prayed, God will answer the prayer in regardless of how far apart they are. When distance and money limits you from being there, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your loved one. Just pray to God. Pray to God. He is not limited by distance to answer your prayer. This morning, is there someone in your heart that is too distant for you to touch physically? Maybe it's too costly for you to visit, too difficult for you to find time to be there. Then my encouragement to you is pray for them. Speak over them, bless them, because the Son of God is not limited by distance. He will hear your prayer for your loved ones, and He will answer your prayer because He loves you and He wants to assure you that He cares. Distance does not limit God to answer our prayer. Should this encourage us to pray and pray and pray more? To pray at home, pray at work, pray whenever and wherever God impress your heart for someone. Pray individually, pray corporately. Come and pray on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And then when you are on Zoom in the powerhouse, though you may be distant apart, but our prayer will be heard and God will answer our prayer when we pray. The third truth, distance does not limit His word. In verse 50, Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." Distance is no problem for God to perform His word. In creation, He spoke the word and things were created. He spoke and order took place. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I send it." God said that my words, when it goes forth, will not come back empty. It will not come back fruitless. It will accomplish my purpose. It will accomplish my plan, because He is God and His word is life and life-making. The nobleman stopped bearing and stopped pleading with Jesus to act according to what he thinks God should do to heal his son. He thought that, "Jesus, if you come and just touch him and pray, he will be okay." But Jesus said, "Your son is healed. Your son lives." So he stopped, expecting how God should answer his prayer and accept how God would answer his prayer. And sometimes we are in the same dilemma. We want to ask God to answer our prayer, but we want to tell God how our prayer should be answered. How many of you have done that before? "God, I think you do this, you did it." Let me tell you, let God be God. His wisdom and His knowledge is far above you. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. It's higher than you. So he stopped pleading with Jesus to come with him. You know, and I wonder when he journeyed back, I wonder, did he tell himself, "I should have tried a little bit harder. Maybe I could persuade Jesus to come. You know, I should not leave Jesus. I should just get him to come with me." But suddenly, the Bible tells us that when he hear what Jesus say, "Your son lived," the Bible tells us he believed. And I think it's time for us to believe what the Bible say, what God say in His word. We should not doubt. But we should believe, and that he believed. And as he was walking back, he met his servant. And the servant told him, "Your son lives." And he asked, "When did that happen?" And he said, "It happened in such an hour." And he remembered that was the same hour, the same minute when Jesus said, "Your son lives." It came first because he believed. Because he believed, now he sees the miracle. And it's important for us to recognize faith is not what you feel. Faith is what you do. When he is willing to stop pleading with Jesus and willing to go forward, he believed that the word of Jesus is true. And I wanted to encourage you, we who are praying for our family, for our loved one, for our needs, we need to stand in the promise of God. We need to stand in the word of God and say, "God, I believe because you have said that what you have spoken, you will perform. I know, God, that sometime I want you to do it right now." But God may not be right now. But I know that whatever that is spoken by his word, it will come to pass. God sent his word, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. Word of the Lord came to Saul. The word of the Lord came to David. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And now to you this morning, the word of the Lord comes to you through Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. He has no limitation. He is able to supply all your need. He is able to meet all your need. He is able to heal. He is able to touch. He is able to deliver. He is saying to you, "Distance is not my problem. I can do it. Just believe what my words say." And we need to come to the place to say, "God, I believe. I believe, Lord." Yes, my parents are far away. My siblings are far away. Lord, I just want to be there. Have you ever felt that way before? And I feel guilty that I cannot be there. Not that I don't want to be there, but I just can't be there. And so you beat yourself. When the Bible tells us, look, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has power over distance. You cannot be there. But he can be what? He can be there. This noble man came to Jesus with crisis faith. Crisis faith because his son is sick and dying. He has a great need. He has a big challenge before him. He was struggling. Maybe you are also this morning. You have crisis faith. You have financial difficulty. You are struggling with your work. You are struggling at home. But his crisis faith became confident faith when he believed the word that Jesus said, "Your son will live." We need to come to a place where we have confident faith in what the Bible says, in what the word of God says. And he believed the word. And you and I need to believe what the Bible says. And then we need to rest in the promise of God, in the word of God, than to be anxious and then to be troubled. And then from confident faith, it became confirmed faith. When was the faith confirmed? When his servant came and tell him, "Your son didn't die, your son lived." And I want you to know that when you pray, God will answer your prayer according to the riches of His glory. When you pray in His will, when you pray in His name, He promised He will answer your prayer, even how far the need may be, how difficult the need may be, because God is a God of no limitation. Any limitation we have is because of we putting limitation in God, not because of Him. As Abraham had to learn, is there anything too hard for God? This morning, is there anything too hard for God? Hold on and believe. And then his faith became confident faith. And then his faith became contagious faith. Contagious because he could not keep what he experienced. The Bible tells us his household believed. His household believed. What are you doing with your faith and your prayer to the Son of God who has power over distance? Let us pray. This morning, you may have loved ones that you are concerned. It may be your parents, it may be your sibling. You hear their needs. They call you, they tell you, and you are struggling. God, what can I do? I can only do what I can, oh God. I want you to know. Bring them to God. Bring them to Jesus who say, I have power over distance. You cannot be there, I can be there. You cannot touch them, I can touch them. Because God has no limitation. This morning, is there someone in your heart that you're concerned for? And you cannot be there, but you want to say, God, be there for me. Help them. Heal them. Bless them. Touch them. I want to pray for you. If there's someone in your heart, lift up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I bring them to you, God. They are far away from me, but they are not far away from you. I ask you to step in, O God, and do that work. Whether it's my brother, my sister, my niece, my nephew, my parents, Lord, we lift them to your throne of grace, O God. We know, Lord, that when we pray, you hear, O God. For Lord, we are not praying for ourselves. We are praying for the one that we love, the one that we care for. But Lord, we cannot be there. But Lord, we ask you to be there, to touch them, to heal them, to meet their needs, O God, to assure them, O God, that you are ever present, O God. Lord, we look towards you and ask for your power to be released. We ask for miracles to take place, O God. We ask for breakthrough to take place. We ask, O God, for prayer to be answered, O God. For you are a God without limitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand up with me as we sing that song, This Is My Story?
Blessed.